Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology, Monday evening, speaking to you live from various parts of the country. And we are three astrologers who get together on Monday evening. You may be listening on an archived version, but we're live on Monday evening. And we take calls and answer questions, and we're happy to chat with you. And I will introduce us first. My name is Mark Waltz. I'm in New York City on the island of Manhattan, on the west side over by the Hudson River. Over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side with a lovely breeze through my window. It's no air conditioning, yay! And
hey.
I am an astrologer in Manhattan, too.
Good. And then we will probably be joined
shortly. We just heard the bell ring. Heather has arrived. Mm-hmm. Heather, we're introducing ourselves.
Wonderful. This is Heather Rowan Robbins calling to you from St. Paul, Minnesota on a very hot and muggy night.
We have greenhouse here in New York. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. We're having an evening without the humidity.
An evening without humidity.
Oh, wonderful.
It's good. It's been a little humid, but no humid today. Yes. Yay.
Right.
So, all right.
Okay.
And so, we'll kind of talk about what's going on in the sky as part of our daily adventure and lesson in astrology, and then take callers and comments on the world. So, it's a big week. We've been talking for months and months about the coming cosmic cross, the coming T-squared, da-da-da-da-da. It's here. It arrives this week, kind of like Santa Claus. You know, you wait all long, long time for it and keep asking your mother when Christmas is coming, and suddenly it's right around the corner. So it's this week we have our cosmic T-square take place in the heavens and are then ready and able to move forward into the new lives. So it's coming to the week, to your life. It's coming somewhere in your chart.
And what is that T-square? We've been talking about it for months, but for the new audience, how would you describe that, Anne?
I would describe the T-square as Mel Gibson in one corner, and that's the part of your chart that's jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and wants to hit somebody and break free. And then in the other corner is the Osanka saying, "Oh, Mel, you are a crazy person. You tried to kill me. You tried to beat me with children." And then the rest of us watching as the unwashed mass is going, "Wow, look at that fight. Look at that fight." The other way it's shown up is the WikiLeaks, 19,000 pages of documents about the war, lots and lots of documents, Jupiter, Uranus, about kind of unexpected on the Internet released, but also scary a little bit. Because apparently the people that had helped our government in the war are being hunted. And so that's the publishing of it, and then us saying, no, don't publish, and then the people maybe being hurt or killed by it. The woman who said she didn't want to help a white farmer, and the big blogosphere went crazy, screaming, yelling, ranting, raving, and then they went, "Oh, we didn't play the whole tape." And the farmer came forward and said, "She helped me." So it's that three parts.
To break that down
for the
people that are trying to learn.
Yep.
Go ahead.
The crazies,
it sounds
which
like
is,
you're saying that the...
Right.
Yeah.
There's a crazy energy,
crazy?
Which is the Jupiter-Uranus in Aries. It's crazy, out of control, wild, and not following any rules. Then there's the Saturn saying, "Caution, caution, be careful, don't necessarily go wild." And then there's Pluto, which is saying, the reason that we're doing all this is transformation, time to transform. So they're all kind of having this big cosmic traffic jam in the heavens, and depending on any given day, you can watch who's which and label them all and then go, okay, who do I want to be today, Saturn, Uranus, or Pluto? So this week what happens is they all meet, and they actually meet at the same degree, and they get set off by Mars as a trigger planet. He comes along and lights the fuse. And they get set off by Venus, and they also get set off by the Sun, and they also get set off by the Moon. So emotionally, we're going to see things
it's
in a new way. And we're also going to feel things in a new way. So it's very, very big. Highly charged emotions. Yep.
An ending and beginnings.
Endings and beginnings.
And some people are feeling it just in a quiet way, deep inside them, where they're just feeling that something has to change. And that something can be very good. It can be going back to school. It can be, you know, taking on, the, you know, the job that wasn't working is over, so now they have no excuse not to do what they've always wanted to do. It can be something, or as that Uranus-Jupiter conjunction this last weekend with the moon in Aries going over, this strong need to be free and to act out and to laugh and to have joy. Opposed Saturn, there was responsibilities, dealing with the elderly, dealing with hard work that had to be seen through and fallen through. And both of those are being reminded by Pluto that we need those both extremes to really evolve. We need to follow through with the work to make the change happen, to really evolve. That we're taking, Pluto has, you know, taken big business to the edge, as we see with British Petroleum. I'm seeing Pluto in Capricorn really exposing some of the way large business organizations work as it is being squared by Uranus and squared by Saturn. But this week, as Mars energizes it, there's also a huge solar flare that happened. It's a 3 on a scale of FUD a few days ago, and should be hitting Earth tomorrow and the next day, so we might be in for some really interesting aurora borealis, or the beginnings of them, as this cycle's just beginning started. The sun has been very, very quiet, solar flare-wise for a while.
It also messes up communications, doesn't it, with satellite?
It does. Mm-hmm. It can when it comes through that EMP. But this, what astrologers have noticed over time is that when the sun gets active, it adds just more electricity to the circuit. So it amps up whatever aspects are going on. And it is amping, it's hitting just as this T-square, which we've been describing as an era-changing aspect. Now, some people said, well, you know, it's been kind of quiet for an era-changing. I've been a little irritable. I've been, you know, an urge to do something a little different, but I'm not feeling it. Because these aspects are so big, it's hard to see up close. We can see the change of today's announcement that we're on track to pull out of Iraq. To me, was an example of Mars, which we associate with the military, in Libra, which is kind of both open warfare and peace, conjuncting Saturn, beginning to, you know, dial down that war on schedule, or what they say was on schedule, on their schedule. But I'm also hearing that the dialing down the war, 5 couples that I work with have all decided to go into marriage counseling this week, as Saturn asking us to do the work in the sign of partnership. I'm hearing of mediation being brought into work situations as Saturn in Libra, energized by that Mars, says we have to find a balance between our needs and your needs, and my needs and your needs. I see that some really interestingly constructive restlessness that goes along with that. Mark, what are you seeing in this T-square and being activated this week?
Well, I think what most of us are going to feel is a need to really take responsibility and to find the connection between being responsible and disciplined and being empowered. And we're feeling in some areas of our life like we're losing our empowerment, and in other areas of our life like it's really coming together. And what we want to do is try to find that in all the areas. So whatever area of your life you feel like you're losing it, right? And you have no sense of being empowered, try to look at the area in your life where you're feeling actually empowered and meld them. realize that you're at the center of all of this, and it's how you handle it. And, you know, that's what you want to do. But the thing that won't work is when you feel the power being shifted away from you, like you just can't get a grip on your own power, then there's a feeling I have to do something radical. I have to break away from structure and responsibility and go my own way. And if you do that, you're polarizing, and it's not really going to work. The power is going to continue to just be siphoned away from you. And it's a little bit like fighting your way out of quicksand or something, if you have nothing to stand on. Whereas if you try to pull together your need to be yourself with your need for some kind of structure to experience that in, then that's going to lead you into standing in the center of your own circle of power. So right now it's important to pull together the need for discipline and the need to have your own way, and rather than feeling that it's one or the other. But we're going to experience the feeling that it's one or the other. I either have to break free or I have to submit. Instead, what we want to do is find, well, how can I in some way not submit to the order of the day, but rather let that order of the day work for me? In other words, how can I find myself within something that is orderly rather than try to blow it all up? So that's what's going to work now. You have to work all three of those points. And if you're not, then they're going to pull you apart and you won't find your center. So those are really the choices.
Yeah. I think the thing to remember is it's a very destabilizing energy. It's going to not feel like the world is stable because it is three legs. It's kind of like the mobile. The image I keep getting is a mobile over the crib. And you whack one thing and the whole thing spins like a wild thing. And if we know it, that's what's happening, then we can really stand and be okay with it. But what happens is when the mobile starts to run, we're like, oh my goodness, it's really moving. What do I, you know, now what do I do? And I think that's the part that we forget, that it's temporary. It's just for a week or so. And then it'll be over. And then we're on the other side. And that's the other part, is to remember that it is a transit, meaning it's transitory. It doesn't have to have a permanent solution. It simply has to be ridden through or worked through. And you know, when you don't know what to do, go to bed and put the covers over your head. It's always a really good solution, at least for my Pisces moon. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to bed now.
The third answer, the fourth leg, the fourth corner of this grand square, if you've got Libra, Capricorn, and Aries being activated by the outer planets, the missing corner is Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So Cancer stabilizes it. You know, a day at the beach. The Cancer stabilizes it, the desire to curl up in your nest, to get some shell time. So what I've noticed with this aspect is that when we're around others and interacting, it can be off the wall. People are describing feeling much more tired after a day of work or a day even with friends. Just there's just so much going on energetically, even if it's not even that busy a day. There's just a lot bouncing off each other. Some time alone, some shell time, as the Cancer crab would say, becomes more and more essential to process the experience that we just had. So the time alone and the time with familiar family, to not take family for granted now, nor try to push them or get anything, but this is a time where our family, and that can mean our blood family or our chosen family, it's really not time to act out on each other, but really time to just hold each other's hand and be respite. Be, you know, the friend that you can call up that's like a sister. Don't give each other a hard time, just kind of be in each other's corner. Because with that little bit of Cancer, with that support from, you know, feel good about your home, it's an important time to, you know, work on the home, putter in your garden, feel that where you are is a refuge to you, even if it's half a room, but that where you are is a refuge. And if we can let that be a refuge, there's much more room to handle the patterns that are coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we forget, you know, that it is the, with cancer, the other thing that gets triggered is the need to nurture yourself on a different level. And so it can be a time when you want to go back to some of maybe your bad old habits, like if you, you know, have an alcohol or drug issue, or in the past you abused substances or worked with substances in ways that where you weren't healthful. There is a little bit of a tendency on this, because that was what nurtured you to want to go back to that energy. So it's also a very big month or week or whatever the right word for it is to be aware of there's a little bit of slippage opportunity. And if you don't want to slip, you know, give yourself support in other ways, nurture yourself in other ways. When we are feeling, when the energy hits this section, Cancer needs to do something. It needs to, it's a cardinal sign, so it's going to take action. So it wants to do something to make itself feel better. And that can be food, so, or that can be drugs, or that can be whatever. But make it be a positive way of nurturing yourself, because there is a need for nurturing. There isn't a lot of it in the world right now. And you, on many levels, we need to nurture ourselves as we go through this energy vortex. Because it's about, wow, there's nobody here to take care of me. Well, I'm here to take care of me, so let me take care of myself. And I think if we focus it that way, that can help a lot, because it's about really making sure you get yourself a good night's sleep and you don't burn the candle at both ends and you're just kind of, you know, you come home from work exhausted, you go to bed at 8 o'clock. That's okay. Do it for the – it'll be the next couple weeks. It's not forever. But the next couple weeks, we're all extra sensitive to this. And if we're having solar flares on top of it, ooh, that's so much fun, you know. That just adds a whole new level to the whole process.
I mean, what we have hope for is the solar flares have been very strong at moments of history when it's time for activists to move. I mean, that's why CarolMoore.net, I believe, is the website that talks about this the solar cycle throughout history, and that when people, through, you know, from the last couple hundred years while they've been watching the solar cycle, that when people try to make change, a political change, and get it started when the sun is quieting down or in a quiet phase, it's very hard to get it moving. There was the beginning of a solar cycle as Obama came into office, and then the sun did something very unusual. It was supposed to get more active, but contrary, it's something that we can roughly predict, but we can't map, because the sun is so, there's so many variables and so many unpredictable factors. And it can go, can get quiet for 30 to 50 years sometimes. So normally it's 11 years from peak, then goes down to quiet, and then the next peak is 11 years later. It was supposed to get active 2 years ago as Obama came into office. And then it stopped and went through one of the longest quiet periods, you know, for decades. And all the change that we had hoped to get started got sapped out of it, and we had to go back and repair what had been done under the last administration rather than really get started on the changes that we'd hoped would come in when, or I hoped would come in when Obama came in. But now, if the sun is beginning, I mean, this is only the beginning, you know, the beginning of an active cycle. This is what this solar flare and solar discharge heading straight towards Earth is one is not a whole solar cycle. Let's see if it keeps it up. You can go to spaceweather.com to see what we're talking about here. But if it is, then we'll see that the efforts to create change in society on all sides, but it usually swings pendulum-wise, where one peak is conservative, one peak is liberal, one peak is conservative, and this one should be still to be a liberal peak. As it gets active, mid-60s was a time when Uranus, Pluto were conjunct to oppose Saturn, and we were at a very high solar peak. This is, you know, Uranus opposed Saturn square Pluto, and it looks like we're heading into a high solar peak, or at least an active one. So this speaks to me a good things. You know, we won't really notice it ourselves, except that sometimes people record feeling a little tired when they're dealing with so much, when the solar flares are really cooking. But that our minds are turned towards the big picture, and it helps us let go of the little things and look at the big things. And you see a lot of political action happening in a short period of time. I've done some really interesting research. I'm looking at people's charts and see how active the sun was when they were born. And usually the people whose suns were fairly quiet are more, a lot of astrologers, not all of them, some of the more political astrologers are, but more of the mystical side when the sun is quiet, because that's a time when we can see into deep space. But when you see people, like many of the politicians involved in the Bush era, were born at a solar quiet time. And you can see that making political change, I mean, they did some very radical stuff, but they were pulling inwards rather than trying to create big change. Now, we're seeing the very active cycle starting. I'm having great hopes for it myself.
Oh, we definitely need some change. So.
Mm-hmm.
Always cool.
And so it's that feels where with all these planets that just went into cardinal sign, in the mid-60s it was a mutable sign. It was all about adjusting and changing and mutating and, you know, dealing with letting go, deconstructing old boundaries. These are in cardinal signs, and to me the symbol of that is, where, you know, it's leadership. It's, and you've got too many leaders, too many people thinking they know where to go. But it is, it seems like it's very important for all of us to stay involved in how the changes happen. The change could be just, you know, the co-op board in your building. It could be what's happening down the street. It's voting in the elections and staying on top of what's going on and emailing your senators on a regular basis. Tweet them if that's what your mode is, to stay tuned in and involved in the decision-making process in the culture right now. We'll keep the air
once
our individual lives.
Once those flares start up, they tend to come in a bunch then, right?
Mm-hmm. Once they get going, the sun stays pretty active for a while, for a couple of years.
Right, so that's we expect now then a couple of years of solar flare activity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that fits right in with the changes we're seeing astrologically now through 2015. Right. So I think it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I Googled it while we were talking. And so they're saying things like here, the aftermath of a solar storm could be widespread with 50 to 75% of the country affected. We could have blackout like never before. That's pretty cool.
Over the next couple of years or just tomorrow?
They're saying in the next, you know, the solar flare cycle is starting, the next maximum runs from 12 to 15. Strong enough to knock out satellites, disable voltage transformers, and cripple communication. A slightly smaller one than the one in 1921, it would knock out power from Maine to Georgia, would affect 130 million people and 350 transformers.
Cool.
Yeah, might be exciting in the next couple of years.
I know, cool.
And it will support non-centralized electric.
Yes, it'll make us be more, the Pluto and Capricorn has all got the whole, has that whole drop it back into the smaller area. Break it down into the smaller local geopolitical section. Wow, that would be cool. Well, yeah, so it's interesting that it blew today. Where do you get that from? Do you watch NASA? Or how do you get the information on
I go to spaceweather.com.
Spaceweather.com.
And I'm on their mailing list, so they send me alerts.
Oh, cool. That's really neat. Very cool. Good to know.
It is.
I know when we had talked at one point about solar flares, I went and looked at you. There's a way you can look up how many were active on your birthday, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have very little on mine.
Right. A lot of astrologers do, because we're sort of interested in deep space and symbolism. And although we see what happens in the politics, that's not necessarily more fascinated by it. We may participate in it, but often our view is on, you know, the many layers of the ways that the symbolism activates.
Right, of the politics of it, yeah. Very cool, yeah.
But another thing they mentioned on spaceweather.com, which also intrigues me and is loosely related to astrology, a large meteor hit over Tina Fey, apparently. Too bad I wasn't
over
there this week, and over Santa Fe, and it burnt up in the atmosphere. But at night, there was a flash that was as bright as day when it burnt up. Now, to me, whenever we see a lot of material from the outer
coming into
symbolism,
right.
I don't think it's necessarily directly causal, but whether it's the tail of a comet or matter coming in, space matter like this, something burning up as it comes into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
We said this was a meteor, not a space junk. It seems like it seeds our world with new ideas, so that I see a shift in the culture or new solutions or new ideas or new approaches that come in response to matter coming in from outside of our normal Earth.
Right. So it's like it penetrates us and makes us go, okay, pay attention, people, pay attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a good time. It's a good time to be receptive then.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Allow yourself to be receptive.
What are the new answers? What's the new answer that you hadn't even thought of?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
And where is it coming from? Yeah. That makes sense. Cool. Well, I will have to subscribe to spaceweather.com. In fact, I just went and did.
Okay.
Always good. It's very easy. You just put your name and address in there, and off you go. Yeah. So if we talk about the week's aspects, so we do have this T square that's forming, and then we have Mars going through as a little lighter. It's like a bonfire that's sitting there, and he's going around lighting matches. And then on the weekend, Venus goes through there, and she lights some matches. And then the Sun is at the world axis point. He's at 15 of Leo. So he's lighting matches because he's aspecting this world point too. So we have a lot of, and then the Moon goes through there and emotionally sets it off. So there's a lot of, you know, what you desire, what you want to take action about, how you want to see things, and also your emotions are all tied. So kind of these energies are all kind of weaving together to create this week, actually 2 weeks, because it goes through next week. And, you know, some people would say even as far as the 21st, because that's when Saturn finishes with Pluto. But the idea is for you to look at your life and figure out the vision. You know, if we do the vision thing, it helps a lot, especially in times like this, where you say, okay, the big picture is this. This is where I'm heading. Let me focus on that, because I can't do anything about the craziness right in front of me. And if we do it that way, it calms me down, because I'm not like so, oh, my God, I can't do anything about this. Because I can't, you know. I am in process. And so if we do it that way, we're like, okay, we're in process. And right now, the entire world's in process, including the cats, who are having a lot of fun fighting the last couple days, too. We have no peace in the house. The little small furry people feel it too.
Yeah, they do. And today with the moon, there's also a grand trine today with the moon in Taurus, Pluto and Mercury. So the Pluto-Mercury trine of last week is pulling out of orbit, but it's still there, and moon went over it today. And today was the day my daughter had to, her dog died. I'm feeling the animals think there's a lot of, okay, I'm done with this cycle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one quote on Facebook from astrologer Martin Davis was, you know, it was quoting the Native American leader who said, "Today is a good day to die." And he said, "To die to your old way of living and outmoded ways of being, of thinking." And that was a good discussion of, for him, of what this T-square entails. And I agree, it is a good day to let go of those old patterns. Then this doggy let go of her body.
Mm.
It was she was old, she was senile, it was appropriate, but it was sad.
Mm. Wow.
With the our minds are still going through some of our, with that separating moon, Mercury-Pluto trine, there may be good moments. Also, there's a bittersweet quality to it of noticing what's leaving or what's going away or how different this year is from other years, or even when everything looking lovely, just may a melancholy that goes through once in a while. Just and a curiosity of looking deeper and looking behind the scenes. So I'm hearing an occult or metaphysical curiosity in people that don't normally have it because they're just kind of wondering what's more.
Right.
I think that's kind of a productive.
Okay. Let's give out our phone number.
Okay. We actually have a couple people listening, but they didn't press 1 and raise their hand, so I'm not going to call on them. If you want me to call on you, you have to press 1. Then your little hand goes up, and then I know you're ready to be called on. Yeah, let me find the phone number. What did I do with it? All right. Who knows? It's that kind of week, man. Every time I touch anything on this computer, it does new strange things. Oh, I got a couple hand raises. Cool. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So we'll take the first caller. Hello, caller 212. How are you?
Hi, I am well. How are you all?
We're good. We're good. What's new and exciting?
I wanted to ask, lots going on. I wanted to ask if you could see anything and shed some light on my life in terms of relationships, new possibly relationships. What would sort of work? Because I think the eclipse is kind of nixed, like brought the end of some ongoing past thing. Knocked it out of the
park.
Theoretically versus about a specific relationship. You're just saying, okay, I'm finally open for one.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give us your birth data?
Yes. 9/30/64.
Time?
Okay.
12:20 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Place?
Yonkers, New York.
Yonkers.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I live there.
September 30th. Okay. New relationships coming in. Saturn coming to your sun this fall. That is a relationship right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got a whole life-changing stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a while. You know, you're in metamorphosis. I mean, you'll feel so much younger when Saturn gets off your sun, which is going to be about, what is it, a year from now. And this is a lot of growing up that you're doing and reorganizing yourself this year as Saturn crosses across your sun. But that doesn't mean you won't be having fun in the process. But there is a new, like you're stepping into the next level of your maturity this year. Well, let's take a look. You were looking specifically about relationships. Anne, what do you see?
I'm not sure where you got next year. I'm thinking Saturn gets off that sun this year, doesn't it? Like this fall?
Yeah.
Like she's doing it, but I'd be processing it all year. She'll feel younger when it gets off.
When it gets off, yeah. Okay. No, because I'm like looking at that going, Got Neptune on Saturn, too, which also is a dissolver of the old inhibitions against relationships. So Neptune dissolving that Saturn kind of says, okay, don't need to keep those barriers and blockades up, time to drop them, time to change them. And as he kind of gently casts, he goes back to 25 to square the Jupiter. That's a nice energy for pulling in a new partner, a new relationship. And the eclipses, of course, were angular on your ascendant-descendant, the one on July 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So that one gets triggered.
Yeah. Why you let go of the other
one. Yeah, that's why you got let go of the other one. So that's like, okay, bye-bye. Now it's like time for new, you know, because that 19 degrees Cancer is like, okay, gone, next. So I'm thinking Saturn to the sun as a nice harbinger of new energy. So.
And the Mars, even just this week, as Mars conjuncts your sun, it feels like you'll be reaching out and, you know, starting to clear out the dross. It feels like some feng shui going on in your life because that's in the fourth house where it's a good week to reorganize your house so that some of the elements of the past are gone and there literally is more room to bring in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And chance to create an environment in your home where it feels like you are welcoming in somebody, like there's room for somebody to put something in a drawer. There's, you know, there's this.
What do you mean room for somebody to put something in a drawer?
In a New York studio?
In a New York apartment? Never, never.
My own stuff in a drawer, if I can find room. Can I ask you something about my Neptune in my fifth house?
Yeah.
Am I fated always to be deluded and choose totally wrong people for the wrong reasons because of this?
No.
I mean, I understand. I've read.
I have that on the cusp, by the way, of the I use the Koch house systems.
Okay.
And I have that in the last little bit of your fourth house. So not in your sixth.
Uh-huh.
So I would say it affects both.
Right. No.
But your progressed moon is. Your progressed moon has been in Pisces for the last 21 months, and it has another 9 months in Pisces. When your progressed moon goes into Aries in 9 months and crosses into your 10th house and starts tangling with that Uranus and Jupiter up there, you're really starting a whole new era and feeling much more confident and feeling much more energized. There's some healing that you're doing.
Mm.
And you've got some interesting conflicts in your natal chart between that Cancer ascent and moon and the not so sure about yourself on the front edge of that. And a kick-ass Venus and Mars in Leo behind that that really wants to be seen and is terribly romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And you have also a good mind that tends to look on the dark side. It's true. It sees all the problems that could happen. What it seems like is you tend to look at relationship and think of that how bad it could be, then tell your mind to shut up so it shuts off the critical capacity to see how good it could be. The truth is somewhere in between, and just seeing it as it is, not what you're afraid of or what you hope it is, but what is actually in front of you, is the necessary meditation for you to clear the room for the next relationship.
Mm.
But you're not doomed to be, if you can let go of your dreams of the future and just say, well, that's a possibility, so my fears are a possibility. But let's see what is. Today, how is this person being towards me? Not where are we going to be in 5 years, but were they honest tonight? Did they show up on time tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing their own personal homework and taking responsibility for themselves tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And just take it down to that rather than move into hopes and fears. And I think that you'll find that you'll trust your judgment better. Because it's your judgment, not whether or not they're good or bad people, but can you see them clearly?
Mm.
That seems important. It's also very important for you to be as magical as you can and to live a life that's as exciting and interesting yourself, so you don't keep trying to import it through the people that you get involved in. And then you have to sort of be, you know, kind of the responsible one, and then the magic leaves your life when they do. The more magical you are, the more healthy, ordinary, and stable they can be.
Uh-huh. Well, what if my seventh house is in Capricorn, does that say, like, what sort of a person does my chart tell us, if anything,
just the kind of person that you're ready for now. With Saturn on your sun.
So is Saturn safe for
you? Yeah, Saturn in Capricorn. In other words, someone who is responsible. That'll be the person that is the long term. Might not be your first thought of romance, but it's the person that you can form a long-term steady partnership with. And you'll share that with them. And with Saturn on your sun right now, it puts you in a good frame to attract that kind of person and be receptive to them, and you'll be also contributing the qualities that you'll share with them, which are those more Saturn and Capricorn kinds of things. So it goes to the responsibility and away from the frivolousness right now, you know. And I think going along with what Heather and Ann were saying, really focusing on, you know, what's working for you and being very realistic and, you know, not falling into being deluded or overly optimistic about other people, you know, giving away your own sensibility, like letting that take second place to what other people want. You have to really put what makes sense in the driver's seat right now.
Okay. And I think with part of the energy of it is also, you know, with the Neptune there, it's the idealized vision of what love is versus the reality that you're running into. And I know you've got your progressed ascendant coming to Venus over this next year. And so when I see that, I'm like, oh, okay, she's really figuring out what love is. It's not, you know, Libra's job in the course of your lifetime is to develop healthy relationships. You're not supposed to be able to do them right out of the box because you're here to learn about relationship this lifetime. That's your job. That's your life's work. So if you think about it as my job is always to be learning about relationships and understanding the balance and the connection and the partnership in them, you aren't going to be so hard on yourself. You're also going to say, okay, what did I learn from this one? I learn from this one? You're going to think of it as kind of a cosmic, you know, where you go around and you pick up the clues, scavenger hunt, right? And that each one helps you get to the next one that's better, or the next one that's the next step for you.
Right.
Maybe better is the wrong word. The next step in learning what you wanted to learn about relationships. And
The next thing you're ready for.
The next thing you're ready for, yeah. It's probably the better way to say it. And then with Saturn coming to Neptune, what he's doing is he's dissolving, because your Neptune was retrograde when you were born. It's gone direct by progression. So when your Saturn went direct by progression, what that did was that year you changed your definition of what relationships were.
What year was that?
I am currently going back to look. That would have been in 1997. It went direct in June of 1997, May, June. So at that point in time, you finished whatever the karmic lessons were you were to learn about relationship, and now you're on the forward path to say, okay, let me, now that I've figured this relationship stuff, the past life stuff out, let me give my current life the opportunity to have a relationship. And at that point, interestingly, the progressed moon was also on your, so you started a new 30-year cycle in 97, which you're in the process of working your way through now. And so, you know, being kind to yourself and understanding that you're part of your job is to figure out, well, let me figure out how to be in relationships. You're not going to judge yourself so harshly. You're going to look at them all as learning experiences. We don't judge ourselves when we're learning a language or learning how to ski or stuff. But we're much harder on ourselves. Of course, it is a matter of the heart when we're in a relationship. But with your progressed moon also coming to trine your progressed sun, I do think the next one, there's another one around the corner in the next month or so.
Again, one of the things I would look at with that corner on the seventh house cusp for you is if you're getting a chance to live out your own magic and your excitement, and you get a chance to be out there more, to looking for someone who is more mature than you normally are drawn to. Not necessarily older, but someone who has a more mature mindset and who's very good at something they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are, and they're very good at something they love to do, and they take responsibility for themselves, then they can really be solid with you and appreciate your magic more and more and give protection to that Cancer moon that really needs to trust the person that you're with.
Right. Does my Cancer-ness, like, tend toward the caretaking thing where I find people who are needy and
yes.
I take care of them? And
right.
I want to,
and
I would
don't
like to
want
stop that.
That's what you do for your job. That's not what, that's what you do to the public.
Okay.
Because your Venus and Mars in Leo will never be happy in a job where you're just being their mother. You want grand romance. It's just less scary to meet them through caretaking.
Right. Plus, that's what you
so
were told
you
was
want
love
someone.
When you were little. You know, and it's not necessarily what you grew up being, you know, this is one of those charts that what you grew up being told was love isn't necessarily really what you want as love. So it's also defining, going back and looking at that definition that you got when you were little.
Oh, yeah.
And saying, you know, that was what they told me, but do I still believe that's what love is? And I think you would probably say, no, I don't now. But that's also wisdom acquired over time.
What in my chart says that about what I grew up with? Which part?
The Jupiter-Uranus, the conjunction, the stellium in the third, very confusing messages. And also the relationship your parents modeled for you was not necessarily a relationship that you looked at and said, gee, I want to have that in my own life.
Based on those
planets? It also looks like with that third house that there were some family dynamics going on that really upstaged your needs.
Mm-hmm.
So to get attention, you focused on other people's needs and not necessarily your own.
Right.
Or to survive.
There were issues that were so heavy around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you needed to survive. I mean, you know, no mistakes, but it also then taught you that this is how you get good points in relationships, and you can always find someone who wants to get taken care of.
Yeah.
It's easy enough
but
to do.
But that won't make you happy in
but
the long run.
But that's not
going
to make you happy in the long run. Right.
Yeah, that's gotten really
It'll be great work.
What?
It's great work. I mean, it's when you have an ability to caretake or be a culture mother or someone who is working on making people feel better in your surroundings one way, shape, or form. So use that nurturing side in the work that you do and let yourself be an equal and romantic to someone who's competent and self-responsible in relationship.
Sounds like a plan.
That's what we're good at here. We're good at the plans. Yes, rock and astrology. What's the vision? But yeah, no beating on yourself. You know, you were supposed to be in the school of relationships. That's part of this lifetime.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I think I'm going to look back to the 1997 shift.
And what was going on then?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that the years that led up to that, like that was a whole different, like completing karma with short, dramatic, what was I thinking kinds
right.
of crazy stuff. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. You're helping me with my visioning.
Yay.
For the next phase. And I love you guys. Thank you for everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We got another hand
love
up.
You, love.
Hello, 718. How are you? You there?
Hi. Yes. Is this me?
This is you. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First, I just want to thank you guys for this show and all of the information. I follow all of your websites and it's just so, I love your perspective on astrology. It's very empowering and hopeful rather than, you know, the kind of astrology that makes you feel like you're shut into some kind of fate. So I really appreciate
trapped
that.
In hell is what we call it.
Yeah.
We're like, no. We're Virgos. There's a lot of Virgo energy in this team. There's a Virgo and Scorpio.
And Aries.
And Aries. Take charge, transform,
and
figure out the way to work with it. Right.
Perfect.
Don't
well, that's why I love you guys. So,
thank you.
Well, I'm calling to see how this Grand T Square affects me personally. Like, what are the major, trends? Is it highlighting work issues or
give us your birth information.
So, my birthday is February 6th, 1975. The time was 2675.
Mm-hmm.
Time was 11:56 a.m. And birthplace is Lansing, Michigan.
Okay.
Now, and in general, the theory of this, well, I'll let Anne run on this, but the theory of where to look is to start off with seeing where in our lives the
inner Mel Gibson. Where's Mel Gibson?
The Uranus Jupiter is in your 11th house of friends and partnerships. The Saturn is in your 5th house of love given to the world in the form of, you know, children, creative process, love affairs. And the Pluto has entered your 8th house, best sex and taxes house. Now, Anne, what do you think that? Take that away, Anne.
Well, it all shoots out in the second house of self-worth. So what you're undergoing right now is the changes that are going on in your beliefs and your hopes and dreams about yourself and the re-looking at it and saying, okay, let me revise my hopes and dreams. And then let me transform how I've been valued by other people in the past. And then let me really get a handle on my creativity and understand what really makes me happy and makes me fly. that whole, all that T-square shoots into the second house of how you're valued and how you value yourself as well as your self-worth. With a Taurus rising chart, we always look to the condition of Venus, and she's nicely placed by sign. She loves to be in Pisces, and she's in Aquarius's house. So this can give you, and you also have the Sun Mercury combust, so this gives you maybe a little bit of a harshness with yourself in terms of your critical self-talk because of, you know, you get Saturn retrograde in the third. So when we see that and say, okay, Saturn-Pluto square, they're squaring each other in the sky, you know, give yourself a break. Don't be so hard on yourself. And look at all the things you have actually accomplished and done. So the T-square is trying to get you to give yourself credit and give yourself value and say, look at what I've accomplished, and I don't have to be so harsh on myself anymore. I actually can be kind to myself. And if I modify my hopes and dreams and maybe change a little of that inner talk, then my Mars and Capricorn can go and really pursue my dreams. So it's a very self-worth, self-value, building your skill set and saying to you, well, yeah, you're good at this. Okay, cool. Well, you're not so good at that, but do you really want to do it anyway? No. Okay, well, why are you doing it? Well, because I thought I had to. No, you don't have to. Really? I don't have to? No. No. What do you want to do? What makes your heart sing? If you can focus on what makes your heart sing. Huh?
Right. That was saying, that's an issue of her all her life, because she was born with Mars-Saturn opposition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that tends to be the training you get from that and they T-square into Pluto, that you are told growing up that you have to choose or somehow between being responsible and
having
your security and doing what you want. And it's either or. You can either be responsible, and you have to choose to be dynamically responsible. You have to put them together. It's not an either or process for you. And I
like
see
what Mark
the
was saying
catalyst
earlier.
In all this.
Pardon?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying like what Mark was saying earlier.
Totally. The dynamic linking of them. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, your progressed moon is in Aries, 6 degrees. So 6 months ago you started, you know, it looks like there were new people came into your life, a new era of activity, and that the people around you are going to be the catalyst for a lot of your change. You've got a lot of the triggers are going to be in your 11th house through friends, through group experiences, through collective effort, which you as Mercurius deal with anyway. You're really aware of how the tribe works, how the family tribe works, how the community, how the global community, how the internet, how a larger group. Remembering how you feel, not just what everybody else, you have strong feelings, but you're often more aware of everybody else's feelings but your own.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
being triggered by everybody else's experience to do your process and decide how you can make a difference. Will be, it looks to me like the triggers hits you. Mark, what do you
see? That's interesting. Yeah, because right now I'm dealing with feeling a little de-energized around my work and a little scared to create a rate shift, an increase, and that all seems to relate right to the sense of self-worth and not being sure of, am I really worth this, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then feeling a little sluggish and in a rut around what I'm up to right now, so
yeah, that's good because it's time. That's the discomfort that the universe uses to help you let go of something familiar and look for something more. But
that
you don't
sense.
Have to drop everything and join the circus.
Right.
But you may need to bring the circus home. You know that there is, and you might choose to just hit the road with that moon in Sagittarius. You love traveling and love being part of the global process, but to look at your illusion that you have to stay where you are and doing what you're doing, that you can use that as the home base and start expanding out and add more to your toolbox and reach out and travel and do intense projects and come back, that there is this discomfort and that sluggishness and loguishness is your resistance to staying in the box that was just the right size for you a little while ago.
Yeah.
So starting about 6 months ago, it started feeling a little tight, and it's getting tighter.
Got it. So the T-square is helping me to push out of this old paradigm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
Yeah, you want to tune into the cardinal energy of this T-square. So kind of pay attention to some of the players out in the world and see, you know, that what it is that gets them up off their seat and moving and say, I'm going to need to do that too. Because you have a tendency to wait and wait and, like, you see what you want to do, but you feel you don't have that permission to quite put it in gear and let the clutch out, you know. It's this cardinal T-square can give you some examples to move through that. And what you need to help yourself is when you see something you want to do, break it down into steps, because you have this Saturn-Mars opposition, so you really need to do that. You need to see, well, here's how it'll work. I need to do this and this and this, and get your list of ingredients, everything that you need in order to get it to work. And when you can really see a strong plan and say, I have all the elements, this will work, and the few things that are missing, once I have momentum, I'll pick those up or someone will come in with them. But I have what I need to get it going. Then what you need is to hit the start button, and that's what's been hard for you.
I can't hit
the start button. What?
Yeah, I'm so amazed by it. What you can see in a chart, it's uncanny.
Makes
you
stop
all
giving
things.
Your birth information out to people.
Yeah.
So what do you want my birth data for? No, no, no.
Well, you just give it out to helpful people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it confirms.
And the entire listening community. Yeah.
I think this is, you're all confirming that I've been really thinking about getting a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to help me through the that sludgy feeling that I can run into when I'm wanting to go for something. So everything you're saying is like a green light to me. So
I think
that
would be wonderful. And it'll help you get past the block in you, the training in you that it's A or B, and help you find a way of being dynamically alive and responsibly, you know, here.
Yeah, and I do think they would help a lot because the Jupiter-Uranus right now is in the 11th house of coaches, literally. A lot of people with 11th house aspects are coaches. My sister's a coach, and she has planets because it's working with the team and getting the team to perform. And the Uranus-Jupiter in conjunct to your natal Uranus in your 6th house, which is what do I need to do to break free and change things to get my career moving, because Uranus is one of the co-rulers of your midheaven, as well as your Sun and your Mercury and your Athena. So I think that's a great idea. And
I think
when they give you hard things to do, you should definitely just go, yes, yes, give me more. Because your chart's really ready to have a real breakthrough in work.
Yes.
Oh, I feel that. Oh, thank you guys so much. So helpful.
Great.
Good. Glad you liked it.
Good.
Definitely. Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Let us know how it
you
goes.
Too.
All right. Bye. We have a minute left.
Sure.
The show is coming to an end.
We have a minute left.
Yeah, Mark,
and
you want to?
I think we are wrapping up. This is Access Astrology, and you can go to our website, find out some more information about us, which is astronyc.com, astronyc.com. And we are, myself, Mark Waltz, in New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York on my bright red desk with the breeze, no air conditioning, yay.
How delightful.
I know, I'm so happy.
And I just want to let our audience know that we also love to work with you one-on-one, and you can go to that website, astronyc.com, or just look at Blog Talk Radio and go to our individual websites and talk to us about getting your own reading. This is
Good.
Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minneapolis and St. Paul, the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, on a very hot and muggy night.
Okay. Thank you all for listening.
And have a very good week.
Tune in next week.
And remember, it's transits. They're transits. They're going to be over in a week or so. So when you see somebody crying on the street, give them a hug and tell them it'll be over soon. No permanent solutions. Hang in there. Just kind of say, okay, things are changing. You're giving birth to yourself. And if you think of it that way, it makes it go a lot easier.
Right. Take time alone when you need it. Go have a party when you need that. Laugh whenever you can. And do what you need to adjust.
Right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.